Okay. Shout out to Miss Evelyn in the building. Okay.
Hey.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode called The Break Room. Now, Ev, I call this platform I'm running The Break Room, because, and I spell it B-R-A-K-E. And the reason why I spell it that way is because I feel like sometimes we move too fast in life and we don't take the time to like stop, pump the brakes, and reflect on life. So I want to have this platform as a way for us to just like connect, reflect, and see what we can come up with as far as answers to questions, all right?
Okay,
so
awesome. Thanks for having me.
And I just want to tell people outside who are like, who is this beautiful young lady? I've met you, Evelyn, a few years ago. We are still working together, but we were working together. And you immediately captured my eye because even though you're a young soul, well, you're really young, by the way. We'll get into that too. But even though you're so much younger than me, like 13 years apart, I could see a sense of maturity in you. I could see a sense of depth in you. I feel like this girl's going places, or this young lady, I should say, is going places. In fact, I just saw that you recently posted that you're graduating from Lehman. You're graduating?
Yeah.
All right. We'll get into that. You know, you and Celia, shout out to Celia, wherever you are, shout out to Celia.
Bestie.
YouTube, in particular, y'all caught my eye. I would love to converse with y'all with the little time we had. Y'all showed me, like, poise. Y'all showed me humor and levity. Yeah, y'all didn't take yourselves too seriously. But at the same time, you can hold your own and hang with the best of them. So I always felt like these people are going places and I should stick my flag to them and make sure I you know, keep them around just in case. So I'm privileged that you're here with me today, tonight. I wanted to have you on. I wanted to have you on because through bits and pieces of our friendship and our connection, you little by little, through text and conversation, have let me into vulnerabilities about yourself, about things that you've gone through, things that you're going through. And I've been privileged in receiving those messages because, you know, it takes bravery and courage to be like, yo, I'm going through this. Or, yo, this is bothering me. And I don't know. I don't even know if you recognize how powerful it is to say out loud, I'm going through this. You know, a lot of people suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking too much. So first of all, shout out to you. How you doing this evening?
Thank you. I'm doing well. I'm feeling good. Feeling really good. I'm excited to be here. A little nervous, but it's my first podcast, but I'm excited.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. I'm sure you'll do fine. Before we get into the nitty gritty about you and about life, tell me about your accomplishment. Because I saw online you posted recently that you're graduating soon from Lehman. What's been that like, going to school and stuff?
Going to school was like it was a journey for me because I had to take a break from school for a little while. Like, I was going through a lot of, you know, trying to figure out, what do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Where do I want to end up? And, you know, I decided to, when I started working in a school, mm-hmm. but I met Mike, I decided that working with kids is for me, but I don't exactly want to be a teacher. And I thought maybe I could do speech, maybe I could do OT, but I ended up making the decision to do psychology and end up doing behavior therapy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I am graduating from Lehman with my psych degree with my minor in middle and high school education, just as a backup.
Right.
And I'm also working as a behavior technician and in the evenings with a client. I have autism. He's 6 years old. Amazing kid. Love him. And I'm learning. That's my on-hand experience with him. So now I'm going to be applying soon into a behavior master program and, you know, start there, continue there. And then I'm going to take my exams to be like a licensed behavior analysis and just start, you know, creating behavior plans for kids with autism and just helping out as much as I can. That's kind of what I want to focus on.
Wow. Okay. So before I dive in deeper to what you're doing, going through and your accomplishments, I already recognize two things we have in common. So back in 09, 2010, when you were probably a baby, I used to, in the daytime, I was a TA, a teacher's assistant. And in the evenings, I was what they called a community rehabilitation something. And what that was, is basically what you're doing in after hours. I would work with a child on the spectrum after school. I would take him, you know, to the bowling. I would take him to the movies. I would take him to the gym even. And we would hang out. And shout out to that old job, because what they would do is, if you took them out, they would like, whatever you paid for, they like, you know, cover it. Once you know,
that's nice.
Yeah, so like, you know, if I took them out to like eat pizza or whatever, they would cover my expenses. And more importantly than that, of course, it was more so getting the experience of learning how to be out in the community with a child who may have behavioral concerns or whatnot, or on the spectrum. So I can relate to your job after hours with that. And I also can relate to you when you said you took a break from school, because I want to say that's how old I am. And like, I graduated high school in 03, and then like 06, so 05, 06, I got my associate's degree. And then I took a little break. And then back in like in 09, 2010, my mom had a brain tumor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks. But she's okay now. She cusses my ass out every day, curses me out. She's fine now. But what happened was that tumor, people who know me, they know the story. But she had a brain tumor on her frontal lobe. She couldn't work anymore. She's on disability. And she had a big surgery where it could have went bad, but she survived it.
Thank God.
You know, I took time off of school to help her out and to help out my dad with bills and stuff. And, yo, once you leave school, it's like leaving the gym. It's hard to get back.
Yes, it is. And that's kind of where I was stuck at. A lot of people, like during that time, I had my god sister living with me and two of my other best friends living with me. So we were all in this room that I'm in now.
Oh, snap.
We were all four cramped in here. Just like, you know, my best friend was going through a lot. My other best friend was going through a lot. And my god sister, so my grandparents like, hey, if you guys need a place to stay, you guys know where to stay. And we were all here. So imagine a bunch of 18, 19-year-old, you know, women were trying to navigate life fresh out of high school. So I can't say that play a factor with me taking a break, because it was just a lot. And I couldn't focus. And I was busy trying to like work and trying to balance social life that, you know, I was, you know, academically dismissed from school, which it happened. And also the program that I was in, it required you to be in school every day, which wasn't for me. It was just too much. And I told myself, like, once everybody moved out, I told myself I have to go back to school. Like, I have to go back to school. And it was really, I think, 2021, I went back to school. 2020. And it was online, of course, because of COVID. And I decided to go to BCC. And that's when I was like, oh, I could do this. Like, this is fine. I didn't have so many distractions. I don't blame them at all. I love them. You know, it was just, I was young. I wanted to, you know, I had a little bit of freedom. I wanted to be outside. And, you know, it was just, it was a lot going on. But I'm glad that I got back in and I decided not to leave.
I'm glad, too. I'm glad, too. I want to ask you about sharing a room with three other people. So I'm going to get to that. But before I ask that, real quick, you went back to school during COVID and I graduated my BA finally, 2021.
Congrats.
Thanks, thanks. So let me ask you, because this is a controversial thing. Well, not controversial, but this is the unpopular opinion I have. I don't necessarily mind online courses. I don't mind going to school online. But people be like, no, I got to be there. I got to be in person going to school. What do you think? Does it matter to you to be in class every day? Or?
It didn't matter to me. I loved online classes. I know when I was in person, when I first started at Lehman, I had just moved out and I had like a crazy class schedule. And I was at school 4 days a week in Lehman. The only issue with that was the classes that I was taking. I'm like, man, if I could have took this online, I probably could have passed. Because, you know, you get a little bit more help online.
Absolutely.
But it was physiology. It was psychology of sensation and perception. Like, it was just a lot of learning about the brain. And it was hard. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to study. Like, I can't even try to fake my way through this. Like, and my professors were way older. So they were very old school. So that taught me like, oh, wow. Now I see why students love being online, because this is hard. I remember crying 2, 3 o'clock in the morning studying, trying to make sure I get everything right. Thank God I passed these classes. But I do not mind online classes. I do feel, though, when you're in a profession as of in medicine, nursing, you should be taking these classes in person. And I know a lot, me being a Lehman, I know a lot of, Lehman built a whole new building for the nurses. So they're there all the time. And their nursing program is like one of the best in the state. So, you know, it makes me feel good knowing that they're going in there and they're learning. Nursing, I shout out to the nurses. I couldn't do it. But they have a different type of intelligence that I'm like, wow, you know, but it makes me feel good that they're in there doing the work, you know, instead of just like being online and maybe, you know, ChatGPT, you know how that goes. But I do understand online because of, you know, people who are parents, you know, there's a lot of young parents that maybe being online is better for them because it just helps balance out their schooling with their kids, you know.
Right.
So
right.
I also get that as well.
Right.
I totally understand that as well.
Speaking of parenthood, listen, shout out to you for not having kids. Listen, take your time, live your life. Do not come on this side of the street. Please, not yet.
I am itching. I do have that urge.
You
I do. I heard it's normal. I'm 27, so I know it's normal.
Baby. maybe
Like my
27.
grandma tells me, my grandma tells me it's normal to feel this way, especially like one of my best friends. She's having a baby. My other best friend, she has a kid. A lot of my other friends just had twins. Like, and I still sit here shocked, like, oh my gosh, she's having a baby. And my grandma looks at me like, you know, this is the normal age where people are getting married. They're having kids. Like, she's like, I'm not
True.
saying you should do it right away, but she was like, it's just normal to have that urge to want it. But she was like, take your time. Don't force it. Let it come naturally.
Yeah, now let it
And
come
I'm
out.
just like, you're right. You're right.
By the way, sidebar, speaking of your grandmother, Jesus, she is a beautiful lady, okay? That's
Yeah, I
all
love my
I'll say.
grandma.
She's a good, because you always post stuff about her and whatever. I'm like, that's cool. I can tell you have a good connection with them, your
Yes.
grandparents. But no, I mean, your grandmother is right, that, this is the typical age, I guess, to have kids, late 20s. But we are seeing a new phenomenon, and I have the older age to have a point of reference for this. When I was coming up, like maybe 10, 15 years earlier than your age now, like in high school and middle school, people were having kids like just like random and rampant. Where now there's studies being shown that like teenage pregnancy is way down. People having kids in their 20s is way down. People are having kids older and older. And there has to be a few reasons why. I would imagine one, finances. We're New Yorkers, so it's too damn expensive.
Live over here. Yeah.
And then another reason why, and I wonder how you feel about this. It seems like, well, there's a few reasons why I would say. So there's what I said. There's also a generation, maybe your grandmother could relate to this. A woman back in the day, 50, 70, 80 years ago, they were pressured to have kids. They were pressured to be in a marriage. Maybe the world and finances back then didn't allow women to be independent on her own yet. It's a man's world,
Yeah.
unfortunately. So there's that aspect societally. But I also think, and I wonder how you feel about this, there is another component of like, I'm seeing now, and I wonder how you feel. I'm seeing now, I get younger and younger, there's like a disconnect in dating where like I'm hearing from women from your age group, mine too, but your age group, of like there's a disconnect of like dating and maybe men not being the best ideal mates right now. Talk to me about that. I mean, I know you're in a relationship right now, but talk to me in general about what you're seeing in the dating scene and in general.
Yeah, what I'm saying in general, there is a disconnect. There's a lack of emotional intelligence. And they do say that women do mature emotionally, more than men. And I do see that. Like, a lot of people want to, like, I find it hard that men, this generation is hard to express themselves and what they want clearly. Like, and also, it's also the sense of that conversation of, oh, I'm a provider and this guy's not providing, And with that, I kind of have like mixed feelings about that because it's like a guy my age doing the same thing that I do, how am I expect him to provide if we're still here, He's not make, you have to build with someone. I totally agree. And then there's a lot of women that want a guy that already has everything. And sometimes it's not like that. Women usually do get that. It's rare now, And I also, from what I see, is that, yeah, from my beginning point was people just don't want to express themselves. People just want to hide things. They think like, I shouldn't be chasing after her. Like, I'm not doing that. I look thirsty, like they say things like
And a
that.
lot,
And
yeah.
it's just why? If you like someone, go get them. Show them that you want them. And that's just like a big thing nowadays, and social media plays a big part too. Like everybody wants to put on a show for social media, and if my relationship doesn't look like this, I don't want it. Or they never want to authentically meet someone. It always has to you always have they always have to compare, and
Compare.
they always want to compare. And then just the same topics of, yeah, I want a girlfriend, but I want her to be traditional. Oh yeah, I want a boyfriend because I want them to be a provider. Like it's these same exhausting conversations that I hear all the time. And it's just like, why can't we just, do what works for us? Or be in the moment,
In the moment.
So
Yeah,
it's
you sound like someone who's saying that people are either overthinking it,
yes.
or overthinking it, or they're not in touch with their feelings as they should be. And to both of those, if that is true, to both of those, I have to agree. From what I'm seeing, listen, I'm an old school dude, so like I be hearing like men call women bros. Nah, bro. And I'm like, oh, don't call her bro. Like, especially if you're trying to get with her or be with her,
Right.
I think there's a sense of romanticism that's been lost. That's what I see.
Chivalry is dead too.
Yeah, chivalry is, it seems dead. You know, the other day I was talking to some people at work, and it was a mixed crowd. It was some old, some young, mostly young. And I was telling them how, like, my mom was cleaning up my old closet the other day, and I found mad old love letters. Like, you know, yeah, like old love. And I, you know, back in the day, you know, in high school and middle school, I would, you know, you write letters. I go to my locker, I see a letter waiting for me, and oh, okay, whatever. And that was a way to communicate. Right. And I, you know, and then Aaliyah's song came up, 4-page letter. And I was like, yeah, we used to write 4-page, 5-page letters front to back.
Yes.
And then the young people, some of them, the young people, they were like, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. And I was like, oh, I can see why y'all don't emote as well or as much. Okay. And it's, and I do think that, like you mentioned, there are guys out there in particular who are too cool for school, where it's like, you gotta chase me, and you gotta, I ain't chasing no girl.
You gotta buy 30. Me flowers. I'm like,
I've heard that. I've heard like, I want to be the passenger, or I want to be driven, or I want to. And mind you, my instincts as a man kick in. Like, no, if I take a lady out, I'm courting her, so I want to make sure she's protected. If we're walking down the street, I'm on the side close to the street. You know what I'm saying? If there's a puddle, I make sure she don't walk over. Like, there's just survival instincts are going to kick in for me, because I'm letting her know right now you are my world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it seems like there's a pride that's kicked in, and on all sides, not just men, on all sides, where it's like, I have my stance. I am who I am, and deal with it. And I wonder, where's that coming from? Is that coming from home? Where do you think that's coming from?
It could start from home. It could start from home, because I've dated guys that they're big mama's boys, and their mom coddle them too much. And they feel like, you know, since my mom treats me this way, you're supposed to treat me this way. And it's not like that. And it's not their fault. You know, they lacked that father figure in their life. And it's also, I want to say also, like, just what they see online as well, with, you know, these pop the balloon videos, these other podcasts that just, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't make your man feel wanted or feel loved, but there are other ways. You know what I mean? And it's differently than with women. You know, if you ask me out on a date and you bring me flowers, that's super sweet. You know, maybe, you know, I follow this relationship therapist on TikTok, and he gives great advice, and he has a PhD in this. And he says, you know, like, women on the first date, if he brings you flowers, you know, the next day, bring him like a little sentimental gift that you think he'll like.
Right.
But
right.
Nothing too expensive, nothing that breaks the bank, but a sentimental gift just to show that you are also interested in him as well. Like, he gives really good, like, wow, like, I've never thought of it that way. But it's different. It's not the same. Like, I hate to say that. A lot of people like to say, you know, men and women are the same. We're not the same. So it's just different. And I feel like, yeah, home, their moms just coddle them too much, give them everything. And also just what they see on social media and what they hear.
Right. Right. I agree. And I'm glad you brought up the pop the balloon phenomenon. Yo.
Even though I do watch that show, I do watch it. I laugh every time.
No. It's hilarious. So whenever I catch a clip of it, like, I like watching the clips where, like, somebody walks in and everybody pops the balloon at once.
I saw that. If I'm ever in there and everybody pops the balloon, I'm going home. There's nothing to discuss.
It's like, all right, you guys got it. I'm out.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually when I see that instance where they all pop the balloon, it's probably because of parents. Now, don't get me wrong. I saw one cat, like, he came through, like, just looking bummy and... Or he was looking weird. His outfit was weird. And I'm like, yo, presentation matters. How you present.
It's everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It could tell someone what you think about yourself. So he should have had a better outfit. It was just a loud, different colors. It was weird outfit. And all of them were like, what? So I'm not mad at that. But I do sometimes feel bad when, like, a guy pops up and he's very short, or he got a baldy or something. And we're like, nope, thank you. But at the same token, that's a human thing, because you listen. I grew up as a man in the locker room, was what I call it. You know, the boys' locker room. I would grow up hearing men or boys at the time to say the weirdest, degrading, like, just stupid stuff about girls just because they thought they could say it. And it'd be like so, like, it'd be so, like boyish and minimal. Like, it's like, you don't even know her. What if she's like an awesome person on the inside, but you don't even know her because you're writing her off because how you perceive her to be now. Mind you, when we get older, she's gonna fill out. It's gonna be you're gonna be missing out. You know, fuck out of here. I think, you know, we have this issue where, like, just arguing over trivial little things. and picking apart little things, and we don't give each other enough grace to get to know each other. You know what I'm saying? So when I look at the dating scene today, and listen, I'm glad I'm out of it. I'm a married man. I've been married for 13 years now. Yes, I'm out the game, thank God. But I say to myself, yo, I don't ever want to go back outside because the pool seems tainted.
It has pee in it. The pool has pee in it.
The pool has pee in it. That might be the name of the episode. The pool has pee in it episode, yeah. The pool has pee in it. So I'm happy for you that you're with somebody and that you are, you know, home and not outside because, you know, I know what it's like to find somebody, how hard it is to find somebody. What I will say, though, before I let you go off, is I don't like the other day Cameron said something. He was like, you know, I don't holler at chicks. You know, I let chicks holler at me. And then Kevin Gates said something similar. Here's what I'll say to that. When I was getting ready to meet my wife and, like, really get to know her, we were talking online at first. I met her on Twitter. What I did was, and this is what I always did back in the day when I was single, I would give someone my number, especially a woman, you know, of course, the only woman. I would give a woman my number, and then if she wanted to, she could reach out to me. And what I mean by that is, I feel like women get hounded all day long with guys. Like, let me holler at you, really get hounded. So I felt like, you know what? You get bothered so much, let me give you my number. And if you find something in me, then you can reach out to me. You know what I'm saying? If not, I don't take it personal. And so she reached out. So that's how it worked for me. Do you feel like when you were single, guys would had a hard time reaching out to you, or were they hounding you?
Hounding, definitely. Not to sound like that, but, you know, it was definitely, I've definitely had men who come on too strong and too lustful also in the beginning. I don't like that. I feel uncomfortable because they already have like this perception of me that I'm just, you know, going to be with whatever they want me to be with. And that's just not me at all.
What gives them that?
I guess it's just me being curvy, and I'm also very friendly. So a lot of people mistake me being very friendly as flirty. And I've gotten that a lot, and I could see why they would say that. But I'm very upfront, so I would tell you if I like you. So, you know, it's just, it's not always like that. And so, you know, they just assume that, you know, because I have curves and, you know, I'm very like bottom heavy, you know, like they like, oh, yeah, this is what's up, girl. Let me, you know, or if they see me outside, they think like, oh, yeah, like, you know, this girl, I could get her easy. And it's not like that at all.
Their intrusive thoughts just come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have met really other pretty good guys that approached me very respectfully, and like they would give me their number, and, you know, I would text them like, hey, what's up? And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Right.
You know,
thankful that I'm a dude, I'm a man, because this privilege being a man where I didn't have to see as much of that too forward, lustful. I'm not saying I would have enjoyed some of it, but. You know, I've heard women tell me like, yo, some of these guys, they have no, it's not about, they don't have no game or no, game's a bad word. They don't have any tact. It's just straight lusty text, lust pictures, maybe out the blue or.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Or just lust, like, or just bad words being said to them. Like, yo, let me get in there. I'm like, what? And the cat calling, you know what I'm saying? And I'd be like, yo, I don't know how women deal with that. I don't know how y'all deal with that. I mean, I'd be repulsed. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, especially online, I used to get random pictures in my DMs or like just the craziest messages. I'll just hit block because I'm not going to entertain it, especially also like outside. Like, I remember I went to a party. It was a yacht fatigue party. It was a Caribbean party on a yacht. And we're having a blast. We're having a good time. And like this guy comes and just smacks my ass. And I was just so, and I'm usually quick to react to things, but I was just so shocked that this guy had like the balls to do this. And I'm just there. My best friend, my ex-best friend, I still love her. Shout out to you, girl. I still love you, even though we don't speak anymore. She, like, punched him in the face. Like, she reacted quicker than I did. Because she was like, I was in shock, but I saw you not reacting. So I knew you must have felt so, like, violated to not even react. And it turned into, like, a big thing. And we all ended up getting kicked out, including him. And, you know, it was just shocking. Huh? Yeah, like, and he's like, oh, we're in a Caribbean party. What do you expect? I'm like, I've been to a bunch of Caribbean parties. Do not blame this on your people, please. On my people. Don't do that.
Of course.
Because we're very respectful. Right? My family's Caribbean, and no man in my family would do that. Like, it was just like a big thing. Like, so for a while, that really, now that I realized, that really hurt me for a while. Like, I didn't want to go outside after that for a while because I felt so uncomfortable. And I wasn't wearing, you know, they always say, oh, well, what were you wearing? That still doesn't matter. Like, I was wearing a regular dress. It wasn't even a short dress. It was a summer dress. It was the summer, you know? Everybody's dressed out, skin is out. There's no reason why you should feel like you're obligated to touch me, you know? So it was my first time ever experiencing something like that.
Yo.
To say the least, it was traumatizing. Yeah.
How young were you?
I was at this time, I
Yeah.
remember I had red hair. I was maybe 20, 22, 23.
Man, first of all, I want to apologize on behalf of dudes for that, on behalf of men. I'm sorry. That
Thank
is,
you.
I can visualize it when you said that. Like, a lot of times, like, I have like guy friends who like complain about like a bad stink on us as far as, men being dogs or men being assholes. I'm like, yo, it's shit like that we gotta fight against because, we gotta check our home, check our people more, check our dudes more because, yo, that is a straight violation. That's straight disrespect. That's harassment on another level. And yo, like, that's a fight. That's a fighting. That's some fight shit. Like, if you touch me in any way like that, we gotta fight. We gotta have it out.
I remember like we're on the train on our way home and like my best friend's like, I'm surprised you like I told her I was just so I've never been in a situation like that. So I've heard about situations like that, you know, and I'm like, oh wow, like if I was in that situation, I would do this, but we don't know until we experience it. And I was just there stuck, like,
Yeah, you're in shock.
is it like yeah, I was just like, wow. And thank God for my best friend. She's my ex-best friend. She's still, I love her because she always defends her friends. So,
Right,
you
right.
know, she definitely stepped up that day. But it was overwhelming to say the least. I did
Yeah.
not go outside for maybe like 2 more weeks after that. Like, I just had to stay home and just process all of that, you know?
I can see you now, like, and the reflection of it, just like having to take a second to, go
Yeah,
back
to go back
and
to that. Yeah.
yeah. So I'm sorry that you went through that. That's crazy. Yeah, I had no words for such like that. Like, and I know I'm not perfect. Like, I'm sure in the past, in my adolescence, I was, I wasn't the most gentle. But you don't violate people's privacy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
I feel like when you, I feel like once you do something like that, you are on like a pendulum or spectrum of like you might do some other crazy shit on the low. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
100%.
Or you might be a true harasser or violator on a criminal level. So people like that need to sit down, go to jail for a day. Like sit the fuck down. You know what I'm saying? That's
Yeah.
assault.
Yeah.
You say ex-best friend. So let me ask you a question. Not to get in your business, but how do you grieve a failed friendship or a lost friendship? How do you grapple with that?
I'm now this situation happened 2 years ago. I'm now getting over it because it did hurt me a lot, especially because I see her at work all the time too. She works at my job. But how I grieve it is I try not to have no hate in my heart against them. I try not to think of the bad things. I try to always think of the good memories that we've had and how we helped each other, how we always been there for each other. And you know, that's why people look at me crazy. Like when I say, oh, you know, when they ask me what happened, I'd be like, no, listen, things just don't work out. I still love her. I still wish her all the best. Even when she was accomplishing certain things, and I will see it online because we still have each other on social media. I will still write her and say, hey, like I saw that you accomplished this, you know, shout out to you. I'm still rooting for you. And this has been my best friend since third grade. So, you know, I have like a very close thing with her. But you know, like people just grow apart. People don't see eye to eye sometimes. And like to even put out there, like, I mean, it's my business, it doesn't matter. But like we've always had arguments and I've always been the one to reach out and apologize. And this time she hurt me and like I gave her a year to apologize. I was waiting for her to reach out and be like, hey, like I'm sorry, I knew I was wrong. And like she just never came around. And I remember when that year was coming up, when the whole situation went down, like I was just here, like, is she gonna write me? What's gonna happen? Because I was telling myself mentally, I'm gonna let this go. I'm not gonna be mad about it anymore. I'm not gonna be sad about it. Like, but I hope she does reach out to me. And I remember my boyfriend telling me, like, shout out to him because he was like, you know, you just need to let her go. Just let it go. And he was like, if we need, I remember I had a night where I just literally, when that situation, when it became a year, when it hit that night, I was just crying. And that made me let her go. And now,
Wow.
you know, I see her, work, I say good morning. You know, people usually bring it up, but I just choose not to partake in the conversation anymore. Like, it's dead, it's gone. But, you know, I just try to not have that hate in me, you know, just know that not everybody's meant to be in each other's life forever. And that's okay.
They say some people in your life are seasons, so.
Yeah.
And I think you have a very mature approach to still wish her well and to root for her in spirit. I've had similar instances. I have similar instances. Like I have an 18-year-old daughter, and it's her first year in college. So I watched her go through the last 4 years of going through high school and saying goodbye to certain friends and whatnot. And I would tell her, like, yo, all these people that are in your life today that are the world to you, they won't be the world in 10, 15, 20 years. Trust me. A shout out to Christian, shout out to Terrell, shout out to so many people in my life who I grew up with just every day side by side. My mom would feed. You know, I don't know where they are right now in the world. You know what I'm saying? Not really, but I hope they're happy and I wish them well. But, you know, like you said, some people drift apart. Obviously, you've probably been asked this a million times. So I'm just going to ask it just to ask it. It's not fixable?
It's not. You know, like,
You don't have to go into it if you don't want to, but I'm just saying, like,
no,
I had to ask that. It's not fixable?
I have to ask myself that, but I was really hurt that day. Like, that night when the whole situation went down, and I just couldn't. And I'm usually one that's very forgiving. Like, everybody could say that. I'm like, Evelyn's very forgiving. You know, she doesn't hold no hate in her heart. And I couldn't.
Hey, no.
I needed to hear her apology for that. But
I get it. You got a point of no return as far as what you needed to heal with her.
And like, I'm learning how to set boundaries, and I'm learning how to not be a people pleaser. I've been doing that work for the past 2 years with myself. So I've learned to, like, no, like, I have to stand on business this time.
People pleaser. Keep that phrase in mind, because that's an important phrase when we get to body positivity. Okay. People pleasing. Yeah, you did the Lord's work by, you know, waiting it out, you know, trying to see if she can come around. You gave her grace, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you still have that love for her, so I respect that. I've been in a situation where, like, I was waiting on someone to come around himself, and I had to realize, okay, I may not be better than him in life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. Let me humble myself. But there may be some things I'm better at, and vice versa. So I may be better at him as far as coming to terms with certain things. I'm putting my hat in my hand and apologizing, having empathy. And those are my quote-unquote skill sets. Well, he may have other skill sets that I may have lacked in. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we work together at certain times. But for some reason, where we're at now, the impasse that we're at, we can't come to terms. But I know he's a good person through and through. He still has a good heart, and I'm wishing him well, and vice versa, and it's no beef. So, it sounds like you're in that same space. You know what I'm saying? And I commend you for that. And shout out to your boyfriend for giving that sound advice. You know what I'm saying? That good counsel. That was very mature of him. And sometimes you need somebody to be like, yo, it ain't gonna work. You need somebody by your side to be like, it ain't gonna work.
He is definitely that person.
Like, definitely yo. That person. Yo, because, you know, if you leave it up to us, especially people pleasers, we will give someone grace after grace after grace and chance after chance, you know, because we want to be loved and we want to express love and we want that connection. Can we talk about body positivity?
Sure. Okay. Get into it.
All right. Let me start off with myself. As you know, I'm a big dude. And let me just say that even though I'm a big guy, I wasn't always this big. So, like, I grew up very athletic. I played sports recreationally. I would be outside all day long playing. I'm 13 years older than you. So I'm from a generation where, get this, we went outside and played all day long. All right?
Like, listen, I've been outside playing. So
I'm just joking. Because, earlier you told me, I thought we were 12 years apart. Because you're March, right? You're March?
Yeah.
Pisces, right?
Yes.
Shout out to Pisces. My wife's a Pisces. Yeah. What day are you? March what?
March 3rd. March 3rd.
So you're early. Okay. She's March 20th. So, I thought you were 97. But so earlier you texted me like, no, I'm 98. I'm like, 98?
Yeah.
Dude, I was throwing rocks at windows on my bike playing ball in 98. I could have babysat you. You know what I'm saying? I was playing Beanie Man on the radio and riding around on the scooters. But I said to say, when I was growing up, I ate a lot. I love food. I love food. And, I was a big person growing up, but I always gave off a slim look because even though I was chubby, I was always just like outside. Like once you hit 30 or 27, 28, that metabolism, boy, or even your mid-20s, that shit slows the hell down. Now, mind you, I got an aunt who ate more than all of us, but she's always skinny because, I don't know, her metabolism's great. So I'm like, this bitch. But, she come in the house, just go to the fridge, and eat all the food. I'm like, yo, you don't gain no weight, huh? No weight. It's bullshit. Being a big person all my life, I knew to people, please. So I knew for me, like, whether it was through appeasing the people, doing favors I don't have no business doing. I'm making people feel extra comfortable around me, being that friend to lean on so they can go, and then later on, I do my own problems by myself. But in the daytime, I'm helping out with your problems. I was that person for the most part. I still kind of had some self-confidence in myself. Like, I knew that I'm a dope person. I knew that. I was like, I'm a cool person. But I also knew some people around me, they don't know that I'm cool yet. So if I just hang around long enough and they understand me and my spirit and my soul, they'll understand who I am. So I knew I could be a people pleaser. So I had to say this. I remember a few years ago, me and you were talking, and you kind of revealed to me how, like, you had some, how would I say, was it body dysmorphia? What's the phrase you would use?
Body dysmorphia.
And this is my ignorance coming to play, because maybe I heard the phrase once or twice before, but I never gave it much thought. So when you told me that you had body dysmorphia, I had to be like, well, let me tap into that and really figure it out and learn about it. And I thank you, first of all, for revealing that to me, that you had that and you were going through that. Can you tell me what it's like for you, a young woman, a young lad woman, a woman of color, a Black woman, body? Can you tell me what it's like growing up as a plus size woman, a big girl, and what you and all that you went through?
So, you know, I've always been a chunky girl since a baby.
By the way,
Thank you. You know, it was a lot of my grandma always. My grandma, I think she's the greatest cook in the world. She cooks really good. So, you know, I will bring you her food one day because you're gonna be like, wow. You know, it was always like, okay, like, I put it like this, because my boyfriend makes this joke, like, you know, did you enjoy your childhood? Because I'll be like, you know, everybody at my table at lunch, school lunch, elementary school, they're eating Oreos, and I'm eating, like, Oreo thin, or sugar-free, or, you know, like, my grandma put me in a faja when I was, like, 8 years old. You know what I mean? So it's, like, traumatizing that I had to be so uncomfortable, because it was always like I was getting too chunky, you know? And not that she would never deprive. I don't want to blame her, because she would never deprive me of things I like to eat. But it was always like, listen, you can't eat this all the time. Listen, it's like she knew already. But what helped me a lot was me being a dancer. Like, I was thrown into a dance program when I was 5 years old. And I've been dancing ever since. I'm a professional salsa dancer. So, you know, I've been doing that for a long time. Not anymore, but I did it, you know, from I was 5 till I was the age of 18. And that kind of helped me a little bit, because it helped me stay in shape. It helped me always, you know, just stay active. I've also played sports in high school, nothing serious, but I would always participate. But I always had that thing in the back of my head was, I have to prove everybody that I'm able to do this, just because I'm like, I'm this size, but I could do this. Right, so that was when, like, the trying to satisfy everybody was, like, kind of, like, embedded in my head already. Like, people always had, when they look at me like, oh, she's not capable of doing that. Like, how can she do that? And I will do it. And they'll be like, oh, wow. And then now I have a friend because I could do this. Like, you know, it was, like, weird things like that I'll have in the back of my head. Also, you know, family parties. You know, they always make comments. Oh, you know, you got to slow down a little bit, you know. Or, you know, when you're looking at all your cousins and you're the only one there that's, you know, bigger than all of them. It's, like, kind of, like, I also have another cousin that she's also thick as well. But her thick was she had no stomach. But she was also very, like, just had thighs, you know.
Curvaceous.
It's like, she was very curvy, but that's still, you know, they would never really get at her as much, you know. But because I had, like, a little tummy, it was just like a, oh, you know. Also, you know, just, like, developing early, you know, my grandparents were very overprotective with me, as well as my parents, because they didn't want no men looking at me, or, you know, thank God they shielded me from that, you know. So it was a lot of ups and downs. Because all of my friends were thinner than me, smaller than me, and I always wanted to, like, wear what they was wearing, but I couldn't fit it. You know, like, I remember in middle school, I wanted to wear, you know, like, Hollister jeans and Aeropostale jeans, and I couldn't fit into that. At that time, they didn't have no extended sizes like they do now, you know?
Right.
I know in high school, like, True Religion, I had, like, one pair, and I was, like, as I got older, I couldn't even fit that no more. Maybe, like, 3 months later, I couldn't wear it anymore. So I would feel very insecure, because I'm, like, why can't I just, you know, wear what everybody else is wearing. And that took a toll a lot on my mental health and how I view things. But, you know, my grandma always taught me to walk with confidence, always walk into a room with your head up high. And oh, my grandma, I know this sounds kind of like, you know, but my grandma would be like, always walk like you're, I'm going to say it in my words, like you're the baddest in the room regardless. And I think that's why, you know, like, especially the friends I have now and the people I have in my life, why they gravitated towards me, because, you know, people say, like, I just shine when I walk in. And they don't see anything else but just me, you know? They don't see the physical. So that kind of helped me a lot. As I got older though, after college, you know, I've gotten to my first like real relationship after college. You know, you're eating all the time, you're happy, keep gaining weight, and it's just like, next thing you know, you go through a breakup, you're like, I was like, what happened to me? I still felt like, oh, I'm still pretty, but I still don't feel comfortable. And that's when like the type of men that would approach me, like, you know, if I rejected them, they'll look at me like, well, you shouldn't be rejecting me because look how you look. And I'll be
Wow.
like, so I can't have standards? Like, I
Wow.
can't, you know? So that kind of played a lot in my head too. Like, I will settle for certain things because I'll just sit there and be like, well, you know, like, this guy does love me for me. So maybe I shouldn't complain so much. But I had to get out of that mindset quickly
Absolutely.
because, you know, you can't just settle and not be happy. So, you know, like, recently, it's not no secret, I had got weight loss surgery in August 20. We're in 2025, August 2023. And I remember somebody came up to me. They had the surgery too, and they were like, well, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, and you're doing it for vanity purposes. You know who this person is too, but we'll discuss that off camera. But
Interesting. I wonder who the
you
fuck that
know,
is. Whoever
like
that
I
is,
just like that.
you're an asshole.
Yeah, like so I was just like, wow, like it wasn't even for vanity purposes. It was like I've been on every diet. I went back into dancing and working out all the time, and I've only lost 50 pounds on my own. And I'm like, something's wrong here. There's something with my hormone levels. There has to be something. And I got a full workup done, and I had a thyroid issue. My hormones were all over the place. And my doctor was like, that's why you're struggling to lose weight. So he was like, you know, I could give you a referral to get weight loss surgery. And he gave me the pros and cons of it. My grandma got that surgery in the past too. My mom got it after I did. Also had a cousin who did it as well. So you know, I had some knowledge on it. I just do like, this is just a tool. It's not an easy fix. And I try to explain that to people. It's not the easy way out, trust me,
No.
because it's still a struggle after, because your relationship with food has to change a lot. And you know, I've lost so far 160 pounds. I'm kind of in the plateau, but
Wow.
I'm comfortable. I'm not thin. I'm still, you
Wow,
know, thick. I'm
160,
still
huh?
curvy. Yeah,
Wow.
160. And I feel good. I feel great, but I still have, like we were discussing, body dysmorphia. So I will have this thing where I still feel that I'm bigger than what I am, or I still feel very insecure with how things fit me. And like people look at me like, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. You still look so good. And it's just in my mind, I still have that bully in the back of my head, like, no, you need to, you know, you need to lose more. You need to lose more. And that kind of like, it took a toll on me for a while, especially during the summer. It took a big toll on me. And my boyfriend could tell you because I met my boyfriend before surgery. And you know, he still feels the same with me, how he felt about me before till now.
I'm sure he
And he
does.
tried yeah, and I know he tries to tell me like, you know, don't beat yourself up if your weight is not moving. You still look good. Still eat the things you like. Don't deprive yourself. Like he's always there telling me to do that. My grandma too. Shout out to them. But I will have those moments, you know, and I want to be in my room and just not eat for the whole day because I feel like, oh no, like I don't look right, I don't look right. And I had to really start tapping into myself and into mindfulness and try to give myself some grace sometimes.
Right.
And I started looking up like ways that I could do this without going to therapy. And I started meditating more. And I started like, you know, I listened to like high frequency sounds and just closed my eyes for a little bit and just let my mind drift off and just relax. And I tell
Wow.
myself I'm gonna have a good day, and you know, we're gonna eat good today, and don't deprive yourself and don't step on the scale so much, you know. So like I hide my scale, I hide all of that. I try, like, you know, I started wearing things that I wouldn't wear before just so I could get myself into that mode of feeling good and feeling positive again. So you know, lately I've been feeling better now. And you know, I'm just taking it one step at a time, you know. Like, I guess all your life, when you've been a bigger person, you're always gonna have that issue about your weight. Like, it's never gonna go away. It's never gonna go away.
Who will you
But
kidding?
we have to make it our business to let that be like the main plot of our lives, you know? So.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing all that. That's very brave of you to share all of your emotions and what you've been through as a big girl. And like I said, it has to be harder for women to go through it. What I will say, period, for anybody who's out there right now listening who's slim or fit, I want you to know that I'm sure y'all all go through your own issues. But I don't know if y'all realize how much big people get written off. You know, socially, sometimes romantically, like you heard Ev say about, oh, what do you mean you should be dating me or whatever? Like, you should be grateful. You know, you hear comments like that all the time, or if not direct comments, you'll hear an inference of how maybe you're less than because you're big. You know what I'm saying?
And I've had these conversations with my friends because I have friends who are slimmer than me. And they have their own insecurities as well. And that's fine. You know, like, we all have our insecurities, but what my friends do understand is that they meet society standards of beauty. You know, my friends, they totally understand that. So they understand how it is for me.
Usually it's a European-centric, maybe sometimes, standard as well. But go ahead.
Yeah, even though not the standard, the beauty is having a BBL, and which there's nothing wrong with BBLs. You know, I have friends who have BBLs and they look good as hell. But, you know, like, it's, yeah. So like my friends, like, they understand that. And they understand that, you know, like, you know, I can't sit here and say I relate to her because I can't. I've never had nobody speak to me that way. I never have somebody write me off that way. Mm-hmm. Like when I watch these Pop the Balloon videos and I see like the thicker woman come out and it's just pop, pop, pop. And it's because, oh, you know, because you're not petite. And it's okay to have a preference. I never said you cannot have a preference because, you know, you are attracted to what you're attracted to. But like, get to know a person though. Get to know a person before you see past the physical. Like, and that's how I've always been. I've always saw past physical when it came to men with my dating life. So, you know, yeah.
Can I ask you a funny question?
What? What's up?
My boy, Jeff, shout out to Jeff. He's going to laugh when I say this. What do you think has it worse, a big girl or a short dude?
My God, a short dude for sure. A short dude for sure.
Yo, I'm for sure. I'm joking, but what I will say is, yo, a lot of times, ladies, y'all give short dudes very little play.
You know, and maybe I am one of those girls because I cannot date nobody that's shorter than me either. Maybe my height and then taller, but yeah, because I have one of my best friends, he's short and he gets the ladies, but sometimes they miss him because, you know, it's just you don't meet the height requirement. He's like, damn, like, okay.
Like you know, you know? Like, if you knew me 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, like I had a lot of curly hair. My hair is very curly, or it was, rest in peace. So when my hair left me, I was like, damn, God, that's how you gonna do me? All right. What did I do? Maybe I was 12 years old. I said the wrong thing. I don't know. Damn, I don't deserve this. But when I lost my hair, I was like, damn, this is whack. But at least I'm still 6'1", 6'2", because I know people I know people out there who are like bald and short. I'm like, okay, you got it bad. Like, God did not necessarily.
I remember I dated a guy, a bald dude, and I thought to myself, like, what am I doing? Like, this is too mature for me. Like, but he was a great dude. Great dude.
It's too mature.
And I remember I brought him up with my friends, and they were like, Evelyn, like, you're 21. And I'm just like, I'm just trying something new. He was a really nice guy. Truly, really nice guy. We just couldn't. There was something. Especially, he was 10 years older than me, so we had a big age difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was 21, and, you know, I just wanted to live my life, so that's why we couldn't work.
Girl, I'm dying.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
They were, you know, but he was a great dude, but I'm like, okay. You know, I try, that's the thing about me. Yeah, like, that's the thing about me, like I said, like, I choose to see past physical. You know, I have my little, you know, people have the little things that they want in their partner. And I feel like I got that now because I feel like I manifested my boyfriend. Because I remember when I was done with my last talking stage, I was just over dating. And I told my friends in the living room, I'm like, mark my words, my next boyfriend has to be tall, skinny, dreads, and a nice smile. And he needs to be a New York man. And that's it. That's all I asked for. And a month later, I met my boyfriend. And I was like, oh, wow.
It's funny. You definitely manifested it. And it's funny you say a New York man, because I had someone else, a friend of mine, she told me that she needs a New York man or New York style man. What is it about a New York man that you value?
Just the style, how they, and they all New York men have different styles. But when you see a man dressed up and he's from New York, you just know he's from New York, no matter what they're wearing. And they don't all wear the same thing. And it's just the personality, you know, like, you know, my cousins that live in Florida, they're friends. Like, they look at me and they meet me, and I'm a very sociable person, and I make jokes all the time. They think I'm aggressive, but not in a bad way. But they say that I'm aggressive. So I'm like, you think I'm aggressive for real? Like, maybe it's just, he was like, no, all New York women are aggressive. And I'm like, well, you know, if you lived in New York all your life, you will understand why we are the way we are.
Right.
But because, you know, we're fighting for our lives every day here.
Tell me about it.
But, you know, it's just, they just get us. They get it. And just the style, how they carry themselves. And it's just like a, it's like a thing that New York men have that, you know,
That
I feel like
aura.
that's just that, yeah, like that energy that they present. And they're so prideful. And maybe because I have New York men in my family. A bunch of my best friends are New York men. Like, I just needed that. Like, I needed somebody to understand me, and that wouldn't minimize me either. You know, I could just be who I am. And if I am like a little too much, or if I am being a little, they will talk to me about it, and not like, you know, what's the word? Belittle me about it, or like prosecute me about it. You know what I mean? So.
Can I ask you, well, before I ask you the people pleaser comment, let me ask you about men in general and really your boyfriend. You manifested the man that you wanted, tall, dreads, New York. As being a Puerto Rican woman, a young lady, a Latin woman, do you think there's a disconnect or not disconnect? I don't want to lead you on. Is there a difference between dating someone who's Latin versus non-Latin? Because what I mean by that is, I think I'm assuming, my bad, I'm assuming your boyfriend is just, he's not Latino.
He's Dominican.
But he's
A lot of
Dominican.
people think, yes, a
He's
lot of people
Dominican.
get shocked with
But,
that.
all right, but, okay, so he's Dominican, but he's Afro-Latino, he's black. Okay, I'm glad he's
A
Dominican.
lot of people have that same reaction with him. A
No,
lot of
but
people do.
that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's even better. You want to know why? Because, but he's black. And he's blackity black from what I saw. Shout out to him. But what I mean by that is there a difference between dating a Latin man who's black and assumes his blackness versus someone who's just, you know, everyday Latino, but maybe not dreaded up or black?
Yes, there's a
I've seen
big
varying
difference.
styles, but go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, so like I could say, like my ex before my boyfriend, he was from Ghana, and there was a big difference. My grandparents were they're very accepting, so that was never an issue. But there was a big, like, especially difference with food and everything else. But just like traditionally, it was different, you know. And everybody has their, you know, their cultures, their different cultures, their different traditions. So with my ex was everything he said went because he was paying for everything he provided. So that was kind of like the issue in our relationship.
Control,
And
maybe.
yeah, a little bit controlling. And you know, then it was going into like cheating. So you shouldn't be mad that I'm cheating on you because I'm providing you with everything you need. And that was like my exit. You know, I was like, yeah, no, I can't keep doing this because one of us is going to be in jail. And you know, I'm a little crazy, I'm a little cuckoo sometimes. So I like to say that, you know, I've recovered. I'm a recover, you know, with that word crash out, but I
Right.
do have a history of crashing out. And like with him, like I've crashed out a lot in that relationship, that I lost myself and I couldn't do it no more. So I had to leave because I'm like, yeah, no. That doesn't mean I wrote off, like, you know, men from, you know,
No.
men from Ghana, or wrote off black men in general. It's just I, with him specifically, I can't do that anymore. So, you know, my boyfriend now, him being an Afro-Latino, you know, like what I like about him is that he knows that he's Afro-Latino. He knows he's a black man, you know. And in a lot of Dominican families, like they don't recognize that they're black. And I have a lot of friends whose families don't recognize that. And
Not just
my
Dominicans.
aunt, Puerto Ricans too, Puerto Ricans as well.
West Indian, Caribbean people, like
Yeah,
people in general,
you
yeah.
know. Yeah, I have, listen, I have a lot of family members who voted for this president now. So you know, it's shocking to say the least, you know. So it's like I like that because that way, when I think of like future wise, when we have our kids and our kids have all these cultural features that makes them stand out or different, like we could teach that this is still beautiful. This is, you still, you know, you still are accepted. You don't need to minimize yourself for anybody. And that's what I really appreciate for him. And also, like, you know, sidebar, me and him laugh about this because we tell each other, you know, we're not each other's type at all. At all. Like, from what approached me, black men always approached me. And with him, he's only been with black women. So
Interesting.
he tells me, he's like, he's only been in two other serious relationships before me. So have I. And when we first met, like, we would just talk about it. It was like we wouldn't feel uncomfortable because, you know, it's nothing to feel uncomfortable about. And he told me, he was like, you know, like, because when he would go and be around her family and stuff, they were very accepting because he looked like them, you know. And then they realized, like, oh, he also could speak Spanish. They're like, whoa, you know. And his mom was very accepting to that as well. So he never had that experience where don't bring no black girl into my house or don't bring no, like, you know what I mean? It was never like that. And that's what I love about him the most, because I've dated Hispanic men who talk a lot of shit about black women. And I cannot stand that because I'm a black woman. Your mom's a black woman.
Absolutely.
Why would you ever fix your mouth to say that? And it's just, my best friends are black women. So really kind of like, I hate when men do that, especially like Latin men.
Right.
Like, it gives me like, I don't know why you're saying this to me as if I'm supposed to feel good about it, because I don't feel good. I don't feel like I'm some more superior, right. You know? He does tell me, though, that it is different because he thought that, like, I was Puerto Rican, but I was, like, New York Puerto Rican, that I didn't speak Spanish. Like, when he met me, he started to get to know me. He was like, oh, you're really Puerto Rican. And I'm like, yeah, I was born over there. I was raised over there. Like, you know, like, my grandparents are straight from Puerto Rico as well. Like, this is not your typical Puerto Rican household. Like, we're very
You were raised in PR.
Yes, until I was five or six, yes.
That's why your Spanish is so well, and you speak so well in Spanish.
Yeah, listen, so you know.
Sidebar, there is, I have, like I said, I have cousins who are Puerto Rican. There is that stereotype of New York Rican.
That we don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he like, you know, he was shocked by that because I listened to Spanish music, you know,
and yeah, he's salsa.
Like, wow. Yeah, and he's like, wow. You know, he was like, that's really the difference with me. He says that you're just so in tune with your culture so much. Like, I've never seen that.
You had that cultural context, yeah.
Yeah, and then when I met his mom, she's traditional. She's not a traditional Dominican woman. You know, she works, you know, all that stuff. But they're very much Dominican as well. But you could tell when I look at his siblings and I look at him, they're very much New York raised. They were all born here, very much New York raised. So it's different from what I see, you know, like they still, you know, same food, everything, but their styles are different. The way they do certain things are different. Like, and I'm just like, wow, you know, like, and I'm making your parents are okay with this. Like, they never like opposed to it at all. And I'm like, that's great, you know, because they let you grow up here and experience, you know, the New York life and New York culture. And they never once try to like take that away from you.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's very interesting to say. To talk about.
I'm very happy for you that year, because you seem very happy with him. You have a certain glow that I've noticed over the past few months, if not longer, whether it's naturally on your own or with him, that I've noticed. I'm like, wow, like something is glowing. And even before the surgery, I could see the glow. So that's why when you text me about the depression you would have and you were going through, I said, damn, I guess she's going through stuff that, you know, it's hard for her that she's willing to reveal, because when I see her sometimes, I see a certain glow about her. So that's why I took it seriously, what you told me way back when. But I asked you the question about your boyfriend, because I didn't know if he was like I said, either Honduran or Dominican or Black American or West Indian. But I obviously knew he was Black. And what I was leaning on to ask about that is, have you dating prior to him, did you have easier time being embraced physically by Black men versus Latino men or Hispanic men, or did it matter?
I definitely had an easier time being embraced by Black men. I must say,
I don't want to use the word embrace too much, because like we do recognize that people are just lustful and crazy and nasty.
Yeah,
that so that don't mean you embrace them, you know.
Yeah.
But just being approached, I guess.
Yeah, I've been approached more by Black men. Yes. And like like I said, when I that doctor that I follow with relationships, like he says it, like women who are thick, they typically attract more Black men than Latin men, which, you know, makes sense from what I've seen growing up, you know.
Right,
and
right.
But yes, mostly Black men approached me, and in a way, I would kind of like go off and date like, you know, Spanish men, but I've noticed, especially like not really Puerto Rican men. I've only dated maybe 2 Puerto Ricans, but it never got so far. But with Dominican men, especially men that are straight from the island, I've noticed that they were just a little bit more lustful
from the island.
And you know, even though, you know, they say it in Spanish and it sounds beautiful, to me it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like certain things they will say, and that kind of made me pause a little bit on that, like dating Hispanic men, because I felt like a little bit uncomfortable, especially like when I had met this guy years ago, really tall Dominican dude. I mean, 6'11". This guy was tall.
Jesus.
And I thought like, Oh wow, this guy is it. Like I thought this was Endgame. We bonded. We had a great time. And like he disappeared for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, what happened? And then one day he told me to come downstairs and I'm talking to him in his car. And the question just popped into my head, like, are you married? And he was just like, how did you know? And I'm like, because like I don't know why it just hit me. Like this man could be married. That's why he disappeared for 2 weeks. Because what explanation can you give me for disappearing after we went on a few dates already? And yeah, like he was married and there was, his papers and everything, which I understand. But like, it was still kind of fishy because it's like, yeah, but you had to disappear for 2 weeks though. Like, even if it's an agreement, come to find out in the long run that no, this was his wife. Like,
Wife.
they were madly in love,
Oh my
like,
God.
you know what I mean? So I'm like, that kind of scarred me a little bit. It scarred me a little bit because like, when I met my boyfriend and I was talking to him, I didn't know he was Dominican at first. Until like 2 days later, I thought he was Guyanese, so or Trini. So I'm like, when he told me he was Dominican, I kind of went into a panic mode because like I can't do this anymore.
This
Shout out, no, don't
guy.
get me wrong. Yeah, like don't get me wrong. My best friend's Dominican. I love Dominicans. I love your culture. I
Yeah,
love
what
your
I'm saying.
food, music. But like the men just it scarred me. So I was just so scared. But he like he saw my face and he was like, I'm not your typical Dominican man. He was like, He was like, I speak Spanish, I love the food, I love the music, but he was like, I'm not, don't assume the worst of me yet,
The archetype that you know of.
Yeah, so that's how like, that was just like the beginning of like me and my boyfriend, but I do say that I did approach this relationship differently than how I approached my last
How
relationship.
so?
I told myself that I want to give myself a year to get to know this guy because I feel like I know they say it takes a man 6 months to know what he wants or 3 months to actually be his girlfriend, like I just wanted to take my time because, I just been through so much that I just didn't want to like just dive into something so fast. I remember, I told him like, hey, and because I've heard, people talk, and I told him like, hey, if you're messing with anybody else or you're dating anybody else, just let me know. I don't want to be like left in the dark. I'm still trying to figure out what I want, if I want a serious relationship or not. And it's okay with me, but we can still be friends and get to know each other. And that's what we did. Like I would communicate with him like, hey, I'm going out, tonight. I can't really talk to you. And he'll be like, okay, cool. But after a while, like I would talk to people here and there and it just didn't feel right, because I've always wanted to talk to him. And he kind of did the same thing. And he told me too, like it just didn't feel right. Like I only wanted to speak to you, and like after that, we just spent so much time together and we just kept getting to know each other and just, but we never had that label yet. We never had that label yet. And I knew it was serious when like he met my parents and I met his mom. And like we still didn't have a label. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this man still has to actually be his girlfriend, but maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe it's just like, But like I would have my friends tell me there's always a loophole. They will always sit there and tell you, like, not my girlfriend, Like I was worried that that would come up. And God, it didn't. And we had went on our first trip together, and then he had the chef bring out like a cake and it said, will you be my girlfriend? And he had told me like, like this is his first time even asking somebody to be his girlfriend. And he was like, I felt like I needed to ask you. He was like, even though I know we were together already and we were always honest, he was like, I needed to ask you because he was like, this is the first time that I'm seeing things for the long haul. And like I felt good about that. And like people look at me like I'm crazy, like, are you crazy? He was going on dates with the girls. I'm like, we're still young, so we don't know what we want. And I'm like, and that's what I say about the dating scene. Like, just be honest because you just don't know what the other person's going through either. So when he would tell me like, hey, I'm going out tonight with a friend, I already knew like, okay, maybe he's going on a date. Go ahead, have fun, like tell me about it when you get back. You know what I mean? But we were still like in that friend zone, but we kind of started like getting more closer and we never had to question each other if we were still dating other people because we just knew that we weren't. We just knew that we were just, we were together. And I never had to like question him or, be crazy and be like, oh, who else are you talking to? It was nothing like that. So he always made me feel secure with that. And also he was always honest with me. Like he told me about how his last relationship failed and I told him about my past and things that we tolerate, things we don't tolerate. And that's pretty much it. People think that, they see us and they think like, oh, you guys are the most perfect couple, but it's not like that. We have our issues. Every couple has their issues. Nobody's perfect, but we choose to communicate our feelings always. Always. I always now I've learned that I can't hold things in. I have to talk about it. And then even if he doesn't feel like talking about it, he'll like we'll revisit it. Like we'll put a pause and then we'll talk about it tomorrow because we need like a fresh head, a fresh start. But that's just how how I approach it differently.
I respect the taking the time, the pause to really know for sure and to vet yourself and vet him and to vet the relationship to make sure that it's something of value and worthy or worthysome. Because a lot of people don't give each other time and grace to learn themselves. So I respect that for one. Two, I respect his patience and eventual intentionality, if that's even a word, his intention to be declarative and say, will you be my girlfriend? And to be open and say, yo, I haven't really done this before. I've never done this before. But to be vulnerable in that moment and say, no, I'm doing it now, though. I'm doing it with you. Yeah. That's big. That's big. Especially as a man who I can tell you, we have a disease as men of not talking and not expressing ourselves. So the fact that he can do that, kudos to him.
It's definitely a struggle for him. Because I know, like, he doesn't struggle. He's never had to, like, talk about his feelings or how he feels about certain things. And I respect that he, you know, he's doing it for me. Because he knows that I'm very vocal. And, you know, like, he knows that I have to communicate to know. So this could work, you know.
Well, remember, Ev, remember, we pride men in being, you know, leaders and strong people. But remember this. A lot of us men who were first young men and boys, we were taught early on. Don't cry. I don't care what you're going through. Don't whine. Don't complain. I don't want to hear what your problems. Just do. Just be. Just act and be a man. And so we have a perception of what a man's supposed to be from young of like, yo, you can't really express yourself. You can't openly question things. You just have to like be a man, be an alpha and all that bullshit. So a lot of us are now in our 20s and 30s, you know, breaking generational curses where, mind you, not just men when we're young are telling us, we have women in our lives, mothers and grandmothers telling us this too, like, you know, be a man, don't be a girl, be a man or don't complain. So we have both genders, both people in our lives telling us how to act and basically to be a closed shell. So now we're trying to like break out that shell. And for some people, we're doing better than others. Like I have a group of guy friends where some of us, we are doing better in our group chats, like expressing ourselves at what we're going through. But some of us are still closed off because we're still so fractured from what we were taught early on negatively that it's a work in progress. So I respect him for even just having you, being comfortable with you to express himself. I also, as you were talking about how there came a point where you didn't want to be with anybody else and him the same way, it brought back to me in 2012. In 2012, I was talking to my wife then. We were talking for a few months. Same situation. You know, you do your thing. I do my thing. We connect when we connect. But I remember in February 2012. So picture you in kindergarten, whatever that was.
Was it high school?
Okay. So like, I remember in February 2012, I'm living in Harlem on the east side. Shout out to all my east siders. I'm living in Harlem and an ex-girlfriend just had to come see me. Like, yo, I want to pull up on you. And at this time, I'm still talking to my wife. We don't become official till May. So it's February. It's, you know, we're still talking stage. So I had an ex come reach out to me. Like, yo, I want to come see you. I'll come to your apartment. And any other time of my life, I would have been like, yo, let me make sure.
Pull up,
brush my teeth. Pause, by the way. When we brush my teeth, you know, the hair is not gone yet. You know, like, twice, take two showers, I would have been on point and I would have been enthusiastic about the moment. And I would have told everybody in my BBM chat, like, yo, it's about to go down. So-and-so's coming through. But I remember this time around, I was like, okay. So I remember when she pulled up and she hung out in the living room with me, watching the Knicks game. And one, I was more focused on the game than her. And two, I was saying to myself, wow. Any other time prior, you know, my heart would have been like pumping with adrenaline and a rush. And I would have been like, I'd be fumbling my, ready to go, fumbling my words over her. I would have been like, you know, disheveled. But now I was like, in my head, like, man, you have to be here right now. You can go. And I knew, I was like, I wonder what Kia is doing. That's what I kept saying to myself. I wonder what Kia is doing. I wonder what she's up to.
And
I was. That's where I was. I was like, I wonder what she's doing. And I was saying to myself, this is wasted time because you don't have to be here right now where I could be somewhere else myself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a few more instances like that. And by May, you know, I felt that on her end. And I was like, all right, like she had a similar situation. And it alerted me to say, you know what, I got to like be intentional and do my cake moment and lock it down. And
that was kind of like with me. I had my own place at the time. And I noticed like, I wouldn't let anybody really stay with me or stay over. And I would just let him, like, he was literally the only one. And I'm like, wow, like, I'm really, like, I don't know what it is with you, but like, it feels good when you're here, right, you know? And right. I'm up cooking, you know, breakfast, full blown breakfast. And I'm like, what is happening to me right now? Like, so, you know, it definitely, when that happens, when you hit that point, it's like, wow, like, okay, now I have to move with intent and show this person like I'm in this for real. Like, this is not a game to me anymore.
I'm glad you said that with the whole cooking thing, because it makes me realize when it comes to health, biology and health, you know, the body doesn't lie to you. If something's wrong with you, usually the body's telling you in some shape or form. But when it comes to like love, usually the mind doesn't lie to you. So it's like, mm-hmm. if you're feeling something and you're thinking about someone constantly, there's a reason for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's right. like, stop avoiding it. Confront it is what I would say. So I'm glad that you got confronted that and he was able to be intentional and make his declaration for you. You know, I wanted to mention something earlier. I'm still stricken by your boat party and the incident you went through. And it made me think about something that I went through one time that I could share with you. I remember one time I was at a job site at a workplace and a former colleague, was talking to me and like very aggressively, very lustfully, pre-marriage. And, you know, I was like, okay, like there's a thing about guys where we're kind of taught early on, like, yo, if a woman's hollering at you, just hear her out, because you don't get that many chances for a woman to just come be that forward with you.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to her, you know, or whatever, and she grabbed me at a public place, at a work site. And I was just like, yo, first of all, chill. And then a second of all, I was like, man, this is a violation. Like, you know, I'm not going to HR or anything, but if I could, that's your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, but at the same time, what if I do that? Some dudes would be like, yo, you wildin', or you know, there's that patriarchy male thing too, where it's like, you bugging, you should just take it from anybody, especially if you're a big dude, like you know, why say no? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'd be trying to, especially to like my other friends who are thick, or I'd be trying to tell other thick women, don't accept those kind of advances, you know, just because they say that about you or whatever, they're being so like lustful. Know the difference between somebody like liking you and then having a fetish, because I've bumped into a lot of guys that do have fetishes and it's uncomfortable. You're just super uncomfortable, and like, you don't have to settle for any of that. Like, you shouldn't be like thankful, like, oh, look how this guy's talking to me or touching me right now. Like, no.
Right.
No.
Right.
I that's one thing I cannot stand.
Right. And you know what's crazy? I feel like fetishizing big people, it's not even strictly a romantic thing. Like, I've seen friendships where it's like, yo, you don't really appreciate me thoroughly like you should, because you look at me as someone, as the big friend who always be there. You know what I'm saying? Or
yeah, no.
Like, you don't think I have a life. You don't think I have a life of my own. You know what I mean? To be.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I don't know. But anyway, I'm so thankful you did this. I think you were, I think you were so open and so vulnerable and so funny, by the way. You made me laugh. What'd you say earlier? Like, what'd you say? You said he was bald. You said, I feel so.
Yeah, this is too mature. Too much, you know?
I have the word mature. This is too mature. Oh my God. That's going to stay with me. That's hilarious. That's a joke. You should write that down as a joke. But I enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. I loved it.
Hopefully in the future, me, you, and Celia do something. Yes, sorry, my door's all over. But
that's okay.
Real quick, one last question. You've mentioned your grandparents so much. Why has it been, or it seems that your grandparents have been the most there for you? And what's your relationship, if any, with your mom or your parents? Yeah.
My relationship with my mom and my dad were good. They had me young, and my mom was struggling, you know, like My mom and my dad, they broke up, and my dad had his apartment, my mom had her apartment. But you know, my mom was just struggling a little bit, like, because one of her uncles, he's not a really good person, like, tried to take that apartment from her, and her
Really?
grandma passed it on to her. It was like a big thing. So she lived with my grandma for a little while here. And my grandparents just told them, like, I was the first grandbaby. And my grand, you know, yeah, and these are my dad's parents, by the way. These are not my mom's parents. These are my dad's parents. My mom's mom died in the fire when my mom was like 6 months old.
Man, I'm sorry to
I've
hear
only
that.
got the I've only met thank you. I've only met my grandmother. Her grandmother raised her. But
Wow.
she's not here anymore either. She my grandparents just wanted me to be in a two-parent household.
Right.
So they just like, hey, we don't need to go through the courts. We don't need to do anything. You can see your daughter whenever you feel like it, but we just want her here so it could just be a little bit more stable and you guys could like kind of get it together a little bit. And that's how it was. Every weekend I was with my mom, and then some weekends I was with my dad. And that's just how it's always been. My grandparents are my parents, though. They did raise me. I do have a lot of their traits, and you know, I owe them everything. Like, they give me absolutely everything. Like, when I had moved back out, when I moved out of my apartment, I was there for 2 years. I had moved back out, not for any like particular reason. They were just selling the house. I lived like in a townhouse, and they were just selling it. So I just decided, like, hey, I'm just gonna go back home. And they brought me back in with open arms. And you know, they always tell me I always have a home here, and that's just how it's always been. It's always just been me and my grandparents. Now, me and my mom, we're still very close. That's my best friend. Me and my dad were a little bit estranged, but just you know how like I just want to say, like, with my dad, he has a wife, and you know, she's from DR, so he's just more focused on her, which it's fine. Like, I not gonna like dwell too much. I don't really need you anymore. That's how I feel with my dad. But I do need my grandparents, and I need my mom for every single thing. I'm still like that girl that I need my grandparents always. So that's just how it was. It was just them just stepping up and helping my parents out, raising me.
I want to say before I go that I'm thankful for your grandparents, that they did a great job with you.
Thank you.
They really did a great job. I find you to be a very charismatic, wonderful young lady. I find you to be straight shooter or sharpshooter, but also you have this kind of like way about you that you're easy to talk to and you're easy to listen to too. You have a great way with words, and like I said, I think you're going places, and
Thank you.
I'm grateful that at this point in your life you seem to be more comfortable with yourself and have a lot more confidence, because I want you to know that, listen, you have nothing to worry about or fear.
Thank you.
I think life's going to keep blessing you, as long as you accept those blessings. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
And I want you to continue to block those demons, those gnawing voice that you've had. I've had it too. We've all had it. That's a trap. That's the devil. I'm not a man of strong faith per se, or religion. Not really. But I do believe that in some shape or form, a devil is real. Whether it's self-inflicted or otherwise, and you have to resist the devil. You know what I'm saying? Because he or she is out to destroy you, or at least stop you from you getting yours. And I look at you right now, whether it's you and your boyfriend, or you as an independent woman, you as a scholar graduating soon, you're getting yours. You're getting
Thank
yours.
you.
And I'm proud of you. So
Thank you. Thank you.
on that note, I thank you so much for doing this.
Of course, Mike.
I'm
Love you
so,
so much.
yes, I love you too. And keep your when I when I when we end this, keep your tablet on with the app so it can fully upload your audio.
No
But
problem.
I'm thankful for this. Until next time.
Until next
Until
time.
next time. Thank you. I'll see you later, mama.
Okay. Bye.
All right.